Judges chapter 16, and we'll read from the verse 4. Judges 16, and the verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he, that is Samson, loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her, and said unto her, Entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. And Samson said unto her, If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak, and be as another man. Then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them. Now there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it toucheth the fire. So his strength was not known. And Delilah said unto Samson, Behold, thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Now tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great, wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak and be as another man. Delilah therefore took new ropes and bound him therewith, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liers in wait abiding in the chamber, and he brake them from off his arms like a thread. And Delilah said unto Samson, Hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith thou mightest be bound. And he said unto her, If thou weavest the 7 locks of my head with the web, and she fastened it with the pin, and said unto him, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awaked out of his sleep, and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth. And it came to pass, when she pressed him dearly with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, Come up this once, for he showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees. And she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Amen. We'll end our reading there, trusting the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word. Back at the end of 2004, I visited Perth for the first time. It was during In that time that the tragic Indian Ocean tsunami took place, and during that visit I was staying with Jim and Frieda Hamilton. The morning after the tsunami took place, I came down the stairs, and Jim spoke words to me that I will never forget. Jim said, "As we slept, thousands perished. As we slept, thousands perished." As I heard those words, I could not escape the reality of the spiritual application. While the Church of Christ sleeps, thousands, yea, millions of precious souls are passing out into a lost eternity. While we sleep, millions perish. And I want to come back again this afternoon to this incident of Samson and Delilah, and some of the things that I'm bringing out. I mentioned the last time, but I want to bring further application from them this afternoon. Last time I pointed out to you that Samson had for three times told lies to Delilah concerning the secret of his strength. And every time he gave her some suggestion as to how he might be bound, she acted upon it. And so as he said, "If you do this to me, if you bind me in this way, then I will be restrained, my strength will be gone." And in each of these three occasions, as he lied to her, she acted upon the information that had been given. And it would seem that in all three of those occasions when Samson had lied, that it was while Samson was sleeping that Delilah had carried out this particular action. And certainly we're specifically told on the third occasion that Samson was sleeping, because if you look with me in verse 14, she fastened it with the pin, that is, the seven locks of his head were fastened into the loom. She fastened it with the pin and said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And so, in order to weave his hair into this loom, she waited until Samson was sleeping. And while he slept, she performed that particular deed. Then when it came to the time when Samson tragically revealed his heart to that wicked woman, in order for her to cut his hair, Delilah made Samson to sleep. And we specifically read off it in that particular way in the verse 19. She made him, or she caused him, to sleep upon her knees. And as he slept then, she was given this opportunity to call someone to come and to shave off these seven locks of his head. And here we find Samson as the sleeper. We find Samson as a backslider. And in this chapter, as we find Samson continually falling asleep in the presence of Delilah, he certainly stands as a backslider, one who had fallen in love with a wicked, manipulative woman sleeping in her presence. Now, it is true that the book of Hebrews commends Samson as a man of faith. And so, Samson is one of the great heroes of faith of the Old Testament. And during these studies, I have pointed out to you occasions when Samson is certainly seen to be a man of faith. And we'll see in coming weeks, God willing, that before his death, Samson again was a man of faith as he rested in the Lord for that ability to perform his last great act. But during this time, in this particular chapter, as Samson was sleeping in the presence of Delilah, he was far from God. He was a backslider. So as we think of Abraham, Abraham is commended as a man of faith. Was he acting in faith and confidence in the Lord when he went down to Egypt during that time of famine? Genesis 13. Certainly we cannot say there that Abraham was acting as a man of faith. Again there, Abraham was actually a backslider. We think of Noah, a great example of faith. Was he living out that faithfulness before God when he was in the cave and that terrible act that followed? Certainly not. So it is true that Samson was an example and is an example of faith, but not in this particular instance. His physical sleep really parallels with great spiritual stupor that had come upon him. And as such then, this portion is a great warning to all of us as the people of God. And the terrible consequences that follow on for Samson, this portion warns us that we will suffer as he suffered if we sleep as he slept. So then we want to look here at Samson's sleeping. I want to see first of all that it was deep sleep. And for as we think of this portion, Delilah made Samson to sleep on her knees. While he was sleeping, she called a man who was presumably a barber to come in and to actually cut off the hair. Now the question has often been asked, how did this barber manage to cut off the hair without wakening Samson up? It has rightly been pointed out that perhaps Delilah called the barber because she recognized that if she was to do it herself, that she may wake him. And so she brought in the expert that could go gently in order to let Samson, as it were, sleep on while this was taking place. But remember how Samson never had his hair cut before. He had never felt the sensation of a razor upon his hair before. And for all of that, as he was experiencing something entirely new, he did not wake up. And it must then have been a very deep sleep. Some suggest that while we read these words, she made him sleep or she caused him to sleep. That suggests she used some potion. I'm not sure if that is the case. But certainly, Samson was in a deep sleep. And not only on this occasion when the hair was cut, but surely on those other occasions as well. Now you think of that time when his hair was being woven into the loom. And Samson, it appears that he slept through that. What about being bound up in the bowstrings or in the new ropes? It certainly must have been very deep sleep that Samson entered into in order that none of that actually awakened him. What I believe this really is showing to us is how deep sleep the devil would have had Samson to fall into. And more importantly for us, how deep a sleep the devil would desire the Christian to fall into. The devil desires that the church would be a sleeping church. And that our sleep, spiritually speaking, would be an exceptionally deep sleep. Was it God's will for Samson to be sleeping in the dwelling place of the enemy? Was it God's will for Samson to be sleeping before this wicked and manipulative woman, Delilah? Certainly not. It had been God's purpose for Samson to be one that was energized. Remember how we looked at those words, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And that then is one of the statements that's associated with Samson's ministry. This great, mighty empowerment of the Spirit of God. What a contrast we have here. We do not find him going out and experiencing the mighty power of God upon him. Rather, instead, he is in a state of great sloth. In a state of stupor. It would seem then in this incident that as Samson was before Delilah, Samson had lost the desire to fight the Philistines. It would seem that Samson had lost sight of that great purpose in his very existence. The very reason why Samson had been raised up by God was that he would rise up to fight the Philistines in order that the children of Israel might experience deliverance. You remember there were times during Samson's life when He was confronted by the Philistines. When he was brought into the presence of Philistines, Samson used those as opportunities to destroy the Philistines. You look back, for example, at chapter 15 and the verse 14. And remember, this is the time when he was restrained, or at least the men of Judah thought that they were restraining him. And he was bound up on these cords, but of course the cords couldn't bind him. And in verse 14, when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. The Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. The cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And so the men of Judah had carried him into the presence of the Philistines. When Samson saw that, he took the jawbone of the ass, and he slew the Philistines. You think then of what happened in chapter 16. Delilah asked him, "How can your strength be restrained? How can we afflict you?" Samson said, "If I am tied up on these bowstrings, then I'll be like any other man. My strength will be gone." So he was tied up. And then as he awoke, he broke free. But there is something that is absent in this record. As Samson broke free, he didn't go and destroy the Philistines that were there. And again, then we come to the time when he was bound up with the new ropes that had never been used before. Delilah made this cry, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." As Samson broke free, he let the Philistines go. Then the third time, when his hair was tied up in this loom, as he broke free, again, the Philistines need not have feared Samson. He did not come against them. Surely it's true then, Samson had lost a vision of what the call of God to him really was. Samson was not just physically sleeping, but he was spiritually sleeping. What happens when we sleep? Our senses are dulled. Realities are distorted. And so when we sleep, we may still hear various noises, but we very often process that in a very unusual way. And so we might hear the noise of a car outside our house, but in our dream then, the noise is something very different. And so the reality in our sleep is something that is distorted. Was that not true then for Samson? The Lord had given him a very clear call. The Lord had given to him a very clear commission. You are to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. And he had, during his lifetime, accomplished part of that. Now, Samson is sleeping physically, more tragically, spiritually. He had lost sight of that mission that the Lord had given to him. What was it that had lured Samson to sleep? It was sin. It was his love of Delilah. And that love of Delilah then had lured Samson into that stupor of sin. His spiritual conscience had been dulled. And we find then that Samson didn't hear or feel the activity of the Philistines to the point that it didn't awaken him. So he was bound by them, his hair put in the loom, and even then, when his hair was cut, do you think how he slept through all of that? But then each time Delilah spoke to him, and Delilah said to him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." Samson did awake. So you think how deep his sleep was, that he didn't hear the Philistines talk. He didn't feel the Philistines doing what they did do around him and to him. But when Delilah spoke, he did awake. His ear was tuned to her voice. But he was out of tune with God. His ear was in tune to the voice of the wicked lover, but his ear was closed to the voice of God. And that is exactly what sin does to the church of Jesus Christ. And if we're honest, we must confess that we live in an age when Christians by and large are sleeping. Prayer meetings are empty meetings. Many churches don't even have prayer meetings. Private prayer and private study of the scripture is neglected. Among many of God's professed people, the study of doctrine is viewed to be dull and boring. And most then professing Christians in our day are very happy with the superficial. When it comes to public issues such as abortion and sodomy, the church is silent. Many would even have sympathy with the wrong side of the argument. Most professed Christians never speak out for him. Many are not disturbed by sin. There is little vision for souls. No tears over lost souls. Can we not say that the church in our day then is a Samson church, a sleeping church? If you turn with me please to Romans chapter 13, we see here what God's call to such a church is. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11. And that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armour of light. And here Paul, as he wrote to these Roman Christians, he sensed that some among them were sleeping Christians. Paul said to them, it is time to wake out of your sleep. The day of our salvation is nearer than when we believed. What he is speaking thereof is that the day of our final redemption is closer than that day of our conversion. And in light of that, the fact that time is slipping away, God's people are not to waste time. We are not to be a sleeping church. We are not to be a sleeping bride, as in the parable of the wise and foolish virgins. But rather the people of God are to be awake and active. Surely then we ought to pay great attention to these words. Awake, thou that sleepest. This is God's word to the church of Christ in our day. It is time that we would shake ourselves from our stupor, that we would indeed rise up as a church that is invigorated, a church that knows what it is to be endued with power from on high, that we would know those times when the Spirit of the Lord is coming mightily upon us. So it was a deep sleep. I want to see secondly that it was dangerous sleep. For while Samson slept, the enemy was awake. If you look with me in the verse 8, then the lords of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with them, and there were men lying in wait abiding with her in the chamber. And she said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he brake the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touched the fire, so his strength was not known. And while Samson then was asleep, the enemy was awake. Delilah was there. She had invited Philistines to come into the chamber with her. Samson was sleeping, but the enemy was awake. And we find that then through each of these occasions, as Delilah was actively working against Samson. Samson lay sleeping, but she and her Philistine friends were very much awake and active. And is that not true, spiritually speaking? When God's people sleep, we can be sure that the enemy is active. The enemy is not taking a break while the church sleeps, but rather his activity increases. You remember the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember how the disciples slept, but Judas was still conspiring with the Jewish leaders. The disciples slept as the Lord had told them to watch and pray, but the Jewish leaders were still organizing themselves with the Roman soldiers to come and arrest Christ. The saints slept, but the enemy was active. The Lord said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. They slept. They did enter into temptation. They failed in the hour of crisis. William Cooper penned the words, Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Satan trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. Surely we could say in contrast, Satan rejoices when he sees the strongest saint take his ease. Satan rejoices when he sees the strongest saint take his ease. Because as the saints of God sleep, the enemy is increasingly active. Remember how Peter warned that we are to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And the roaming of the lion, the walking about to and fro of the devil, is a roaming that never stops. There is no resting. So the church may be silent concerning the message of condemnation. The church may be silent concerning the fact that souls are being ushered in millions out to a lost eternity. But all the time, Satan and his legions are active, sowing false notions into the minds of the ungodly. And as God's people, then, we need to see that we are soldiers. And as such, we are not asleep. We read those words in Romans 13, and knowing the time that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. Paul then went on to say in Romans 13, the verse 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness, and let us put on the armour of light. And Paul there links the idea of being awake, coming out of sleep, and being active. Paul likens that on to the appropriation of armour, of a recognition that we are in the army of God. You remember how in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul speaks there of the armour of God. He speaks of how the loins are to be girt. That is, the belt is to be on. Back in those days when the soldier would sleep, he would loosen his belt. But God's people are commanded to have your loins girt, have your belt on and fastened. That is, do not sleep, be awake. You think of how we are told to have the helmet of salvation on. Take the helmet of salvation. Again, if the soldier was resting, he would lay the helmet aside. But the helmet is not to be lying on the floor. The helmet is to be on. If the soldier was sleeping, he would lay his sword by his mattress. The Christian soldier is to take the sword. We are to be awake. William Jay said, devils are awake. Death is awake. Damnation is awake. It is high time for us to awake out of sleep. What a dangerous thing it is for us to sleep while souls are passing out into eternity. Asahel Nettleton was a great American preacher during what is often referred to as the Second Awakening. That was a time when Christians were being wakened up from their slumber. Nettleton said, if there is one impenitent sinner here who is in danger of going into that place of eternal torment, can you sleep? If there is one impenitent sinner, can you sleep? And yet we are surrounded by multitudes of impenitent sinners, yet we sleep. It is time for us to be awake. To be awake. This sleep was deep sleep. It was dangerous sleep. And I want to see then finally that it was to become deplored sleep. It was to be deplored sleep. For I'm sure in the days and weeks that followed this occasion when Samson's hair was cut off, how he must have repeatedly said to himself, I have played the fool. I slept while I ought to have been awake. You look at the words of the verse 21. In the verse 21 of Judges 16, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Surely those words must be among the most tragic in Scripture. A man of God raised up to be a mighty servant of God, we find now that his eyes were cut out. And this verse is one that is full of irony, full of tragedy. You remember how his eyes had been his problem. He had seen the woman of Timnath. He had said, she pleases me well. And there was this problem then with his eyes. He came to Gaza. He saw a harlot. Again, we see this problem with his eyes. Even the Philistines saw it. They got enjoyment out of putting his eyes out. So they put out his eyes. We read of how they bound him with fetters of brass. He had made a mockery of how he was to be bound. But out of that brass, he could not break. He was brought, it says there, to Gaza. The Samson was brought to Gaza to get him into that city. It was exceptionally easy because there were no gates in that city. Remember, it was Gaza where Samson had got into the harlot. The Lord had given Samson a glorious deliverance. Samson had carried away the gates of the city. Do you think of that? Surely the Philistines were pointing to that very part. Samson, you carried away the gates in a great act of victory, a great act of deliverance. But we'll get you back there easily enough. The gates are gone, but you're bound. Then he was made to grind in a prison house. The idea of grinding was the work of a slave. Some suggest the work of a female slave. And Samson, the great hero then now, is one that is degraded. One that is humiliated. What a pathetic picture then we have in verse 21. His eyes were cut out. He was brought to Gaza, bound in fetters, and then made to grind in the prison house. There's no more mention of sleep. He wasn't sleeping when the eyes were cut out. He wasn't sleeping when he was bound. He wasn't sleeping as he made his journey into Gaza. He wasn't sleeping as he ground in the prison. Surely then he must have deplored that foolish sleep. And as he looked back, he lamented, why did I sleep? And surely we have here a warning too, it says the people of God, if we do sleep, if our views of sin are not in keeping with God's word, if we make light of sin, if we make little of sin, if we run on in the path of sin and seek cease to see it for what it is, how terrible will be the humiliation the Lord must bring us through. May the Lord spare us from sleeping. May we be a people who are awake, that we rise up. Surely there is blessing in all of this. For as Samson slept spiritually and physically, the Lord is not asleep. Psalm 121 in the verse 4, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." Despite all of Samson's unworthiness, despite his backsliding, the Lord was not finished with Samson yet. The Lord still had a work for Samson to do. And despite then the fact that the church today is a sleeping church, it does not mean that the Lord has finished his work. It does not mean that there is nothing more for the church to do. The Lord will take his people and use them afresh, because the Lord is a God of great grace. May the Lord be pleased to wake us up now. May we not wake in that place of terrible humiliation as Samson was. May we awake and see the danger. May the Lord be pleased to take us as in those earlier days of Samson, the Spirit of God coming mightily upon him. We trust the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We'll bow together, please, in closing prayer.